If your spider plant is looking peaky and that Venus flytrap you bought just kicked the bucket, you need On The Ledge, the podcast about indoor gardening where you learn everything you need to know to keep your houseplants looking lush. I'm Jane Perrone. Join me and a host of wonderful guests to chat all things houseplants at On The Ledge Podcast.
Episode 380 of the LeagueCast podcast. I'm your host, Nick the King Cooper. Joining me, Aiden Frost Rockarts.
Why do you enunciate that so hard?
I don't know. I was just focused. I'm zoned. I'm dialed in right now. And Colton Blue Basket Sweat.
Yo, how's it going?
Oh, you didn't build off of Aiden's intro. That's
nope, not at all.
Big yikes.
Who cares about Aiden's intro?
Oh, okay. Hey, before we get into our weeks, we've got news about the Mordekaiser rework, some more Twitch Prime loot, a new way to view LCS. We're going to talk about, who are we talking about in the champion spotlight?
You tell me, host man.
Let's do Tom Kench. That's fine. Roundtable, cheese pick, and finally we're going to round it out with two of our emails. Aiden, how was your week?
My week was good. I played a lot of League because it's fun. I'm now higher ELO than Nick on 2 accounts, so that's cool.
And whoa, I think dude, you're fucking wild.
And when I say I'm higher than you on my second account, Nick, you're 0-1 in your series to diamond. I'm 1-1 in my series to diamond.
Oh, okay.
So I am, in theory, higher ranked than you.
No, yeah, I think so.
Yeah, so I've been playing on my Smurf a lot. I've been trying to get Trevor back to not garbage ELO.
Should we do a weekly Trevor check-in?
Depends on how many games I've played.
Do you think we can write off the games we play with Trevor as like a charitable donation on our taxes?
It's hard, man. I have a 71% win rate on my Smurf, which is now plat 1 in series to diamond, so I'm doing pretty hot with it.
He's plat 1, 94 LP.
Yeah.
Exciting.
And then my main, I played some more on that, and I got it up to... How many points do I have it at? I have it at 94 points on my main.
And D2?
D3. All the way to D2. So I think I'm still higher. I don't think Colton played much ranked this week.
I did not play any ranked this week.
Yeah, so I'm definitely still the highest there. I definitely have a positive win rate again, though. I was negative 5 games at one point, but now I'm positive 5 games. So we're doing it.
Poggers, dude.
Other than that, I don't think I really did much else. Cool.
All right. Colton, how was your week?
Yeah, so I played a couple normal games with people, leveled up my alt. It's almost level 30 now, so maybe I'll start playing a little bit of ranked on that. Aside from that, you know, work, long weekend was nice. Hung out with some friends, played some D&D. But yeah, not too much going on. I'm happy that like it's getting nice and warm around here and I can start going out and taking hikes and stuff. So yes, yeah, that's pretty much my week. I'm trying to think if there's like any big highlights, but nothing too crazy. So I'll hand it over to the wild boy himself, Nick, the party king Cooper.
Hey, it's me, the bad boy of LeagueCast. Basically got back into the swing of things with school, and work, and that was a little rough. Nice long 3-day weekend that I, did absolutely nothing for. I worked on some homework and then played a bunch of games, played a lot of normals, a lot of Dota, a lot of Overwatch. I'm trying to get placed in Overwatch so I can get my golden weapon. Finally, I'm only about 500 tokens away. And I see, Aiden, what you were talking about the how they handle things differently, because you can only get realistically like 500 to 1,000 tokens per rank season, which kind of sucks considering the first one literally gave out your rank in tokens. But
yeah,
I guess they have more than one season a year, right?
They have like one every like they have probably 3 or maybe 4 a year, if not.
Yeah, it's like. 3 months, 4 months.
Well, the game's been out for what, 5 years, and there's season 16 or something like that. Like,
yeah.
So, yeah, trying to get placed in that. Got to get my Mercy Golden Weapon. Is it still for a specific skin, or is it for a whole character now?
It's for the character.
Okay, sweet. That makes things much better. But yeah, I think that was it, basically. Let's get into the news. We got some exciting news to talk about. I think we'll do it in a different order. So Twitch Prime. Aiden, I know you're a Prime member. Colton, are you a Prime member?
I am. I subscribed with Prime.
Ooh, okay. So I also subscribed with Prime today. You want to mention what we all got in our loot boxes? There's a new loot box out. Make sure you link your, if you're a Twitch Prime member, link it to your Twitch account, and then your Twitch account to your League account.
I haven't actually claimed it yet, so I'm going to go do that right now.
They're also giving out live on air. They're giving out 4 over like the next, well, from now.
Yeah.
Like you have one now, and then in 30 days from the time that you claim this one, you can claim a second one, and then 30 days after that, you can claim a third one, then 30 days after that, you can claim a fourth one. And I think the fourth one is like a legendary skin that you don't even have to like enchant. Like it just, you just get it.
That's what it looks like. I see that Path of Exile is doing a similar thing, which makes me wonder if this is now becoming like a standard for Twitch Prime partners, like for company partners. So it'll be interesting to see how that works. Aiden, you got some pretty good stuff.
I got Dread Nova, not Dread Nova. That's not right at all. God King Darius.
That'd be a sick skin though.
And then I got Bullet Angel Kaisa and the Silas. I'm not sure what the Silas skin is called, but
Lunar Wraith.
Yeah, Lunar Wraith. So they're all really, really cool. I enchanted the Lunar Wraith one and the Darius one, and then the Kaisa one I think I already had. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah, those are 6 skins. I got Final Boss Veigar, SKT Jhin, and Warring Kingdoms Azir. I already own the Jhin and Veigar one. I think they're pretty lame, honestly. Not the skins, but like owning those skin shards. But that's okay. I got enough. It gives me a lot of essence to make other things. I did get my 9th and 10th gemstone this week.
Woo!
So that's exciting. I can make a skin. I haven't decided which one I want yet. Probably wait to see what the next one is and then go from there.
Yeah. So. All right, I'm opening mine live on the air. I linked it up. I'm opening it. I got Pool Party Graves. Final Boss Veigar. That's a legendary skin shard. Pajama Guardian Lux. And a Hype Pengu emote permanent.
Everyone gets that emote, yeah.
Okay.
But, it's a good emote, though.
Yeah, it is a good emote, yeah, for sure.
I'm going to upgrade that Pajama Guardian Lux, I think, because I already have those other two.
Hell yeah.
Gotta keep my pajamas safe, though.
All right.
Cool.
Yeah. And there's a new way to view LCS games. So there is going to be a pro view, is what they're calling it, where essentially, let's see. I'm trying to see how to word this. So you can have four.
Have you read this before?
I'm sorry. Yeah.
Okay.
But I it's just like wording it strangely, right? Because you can watch 4 streams at once. From the point of view of specific players or from the main event, during both live game and VODs, you can share a personalized URL to synchronize your timeline with friends. Is that for just like one person needs to have it or all the friends need to have it?
Everyone needs to have it.
Ooh, everyone needs to have it. And then advanced stats, it looks like. And then finally, a timeline, an advanced timeline with sort of like in the spectator client when it shows notable events like down the match. And this does cost money. Do they have the price in this?
Yeah, it's $15 for NA and EU or $20 for all regions.
Okay.
I think $20 for all regions is not a bad price. I think $15 for NA and EU is like a little bit.
Oh, absolutely. This seems like a really expensive like feature, I guess.
I think $10 would be like super. Like,
yeah, $10 would be a little more approachable. $5, like 5 to 7 maybe is where it should be at. But
I think $10 would be fine. I think it's like they put a fuckload of money into it, I'm sure.
Did they?
I'm almost certain, yeah. The infrastructure on it, like building that out, I'm sure it costs a lot of money.
I guess. Oh, no. I don't know. It just seems weird that like Twitch gave that out for free with squad streaming.
I mean, that's completely different, but, I would argue.
I mean, functionally, they're pretty similar. Like, yeah, they're super different things, but yeah.
Oh, well. I don't know, I think it's a little bit pricey. I think having like $20 for every region is actually like a not
for
bad.
Sure. $20 for everything seems worth it, especially if you consume at least two regions, maybe three regions. But if you just do one, I probably don't think it's worth it. So
either way, it doesn't affect anyone else, so it's not like it's not like they're taking away stuff from other players, so or other
people. And they specifically mentioned that. I wonder if you'll be allowed to like link clips from this, like if they're okay with that.
I would assume so, right? I think it's just that you can't like restream it and stuff like that.
Well, yeah, not restream the entire match, but like let's say Doublelift makes a sick play, right? From his perspective, you want to like clip that?
I mean, I think they would want you to do that.
Yeah. Okay.
Like, cool. I feel like that would be like
think they'd want you to do that as like, hey, check out this awesome thing. But
at the same time, I could also see a company like, hey, don't do this. Like, don't share this. Fuck you. I don't know. Maybe I'm too cynical. Let's talk about the last thing on the news docket, which is probably the most exciting, the Mordekaiser rework. So we've got the details of his abilities. I'm trying to pull it up without getting too clicky. But essentially his Q is just going to be a smash, right? A big smash. Basically his current Q now, except you only get one. His W is going to be very similar to how it is now with the AoE damage. I think it heals you at the end, right? If I'm not mistaken.
You convert stuff into a shield, and you can convert the shield into health if you want.
Got it.
So it's different. Yeah. It's like a less clunky version of his current one. That's more streamlined.
And it's just around him now, though, right? He doesn't put it around an ally.
Yeah, it's just around him. Yep. And then his E, he passively gains 25% magic pen, which is kind of nuts.
Mm-hmm.
And then he activates to have a claw drag enemies toward him. It's sort of like Swain E, but only the second half. And it doesn't root them, it like pulls them in. But the really like cool part of his kit is his ultimate, where
pushes them to a children's card game.
Sure. But after a short like channel that can be interrupted or QSS or cleansed, he will banish a single champion to the death realm for 7 seconds. And it'll be just him and the champion he picks, where he steals a percent of their stats. So it'll only be like base stats, I believe. And if he kills the target, he will keep their partial stats until they respawn. So there's been a lot of discussion about this. A lot of I'm definitely on one side of the fence, but a lot of people think this is super game breaking. And I don't necessarily disagree in certain circumstances, but I think a lot of the kind of roof, the sky's falling, is due to this just being a new mechanic in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's most of it, is that we'll definitely need to like just feel it out a bit and see how it like plays before you can make that judgment. It is, a new mechanic for the game, so there's always going to be a strong reaction from the community on that, so I think it's really cool, though, and it's something that I've seen used in other games, and it sometimes feels shitty, like if the Mord is really fat and you're just like, oh, well, I guess I'm dead now.
Yeah, but I think, like, there's a ton of trade-off with this ulti, where there are, like, four scenarios where either you as Mordekaiser are strong or weak, and your target is either strong or weak, where there's kind of downsides to using it every single time. With the exception of currently, like, we're not sure how it works entirely with junglers and epic monsters. I don't think that's been showcased just yet. So it seems like the best way to use his ulti right now is to fight for a neutral objective and just banish the enemy jungler. And during the 7 seconds, try to kill it. But I think that's, like, is super fixable. You just make it visible in both the death realm and the real world, right? But seems super interesting. I've only heard like things I things that are like positive from the Mordekaiser like community, which seems kind of weird because that's not how like mains subreddits usually react.
I also think it's a little bit different because you have a character that just doesn't work.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah, specifically this week, Trevor streamed some of his games with Aiden, and on more than one occasion, he was just like, oh, well, Q didn't deal any damage there. That's kind of fun. Like, characters just riddled with bugs, so hopefully this will be better.
I think we're going to get more bugs. It's going to be great.
I don't think more bugs, but probably, like, more significant bugs.
Yeah, there's going to be some weird bugs where people are, like, trapped in the fucking death realm permanently.
For the entire game. Yeah.
Yeah.
That'll be... you just ult five times and the game is over.
You GA procs while in the death realm, you come back in the death realm and you're stuck there the rest of the game. You still get to fight Mordekaiser when he comes there, but...
when he comes back?
But you can't ever affect turrets or objectives or anything.
Yeah, that's pretty fun. So does it create, like, a small arena? Or, like...
Yeah, it looks like it makes an arena size.
Okay.
It's big, though. It's, like, first level of Tom Kench ult big. It's, like... So you
that's
have,
not
you
that
have,
big. It's gotta be shorter than that.
It's, like, maybe the size of, like, first level of Ryze ult. It's a pretty big area.
Okay.
I bet, yeah,
like, mid-tower to mid-tower.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Super cool, though. Very excited to see how it looks. The character model itself, crazy good. Kind of like what Mordekaiser should have been day one. If this were, like, an EA game and not a small indie company. But... you guys have any thoughts that we haven't mentioned?
I'd like to see numbers. Like, there's stuff that we don't know about him, or like stuff that we're slowly learning about him. Like, you can cleanse. He has like a cast time or cast. I don't know if cast time or channel is the right word. It can't be interrupted.
I think channel. It can't or can.
I can't. Okay. But it can be cleansed, so like you can get out of his like Shadow Realm grip sort of thing. So. That, like, stuff like that, like, not knowing that when you originally see the kit is like, holy fuck, this character is actually like 100% pick ban. But now we know there's at least like a little bit of a like counterplay to it. So I don't know. We'll have to see numbers, really. I think he's going to be number reliant overall, though, unless like he's either going to be like, I think, gimmicky based on his alt, or he's going to be number reliant.
Yeah, definitely reminds me a lot of Alawi in some regards, where she like... she does things in response to situations. Like, she's a very reactive champion. And that's kind of what Mordekaiser feels like. Like, a very reactive, like, not proactive champion. Specifically with his ulti. Nice. Let's talk about Tom Kench. Where, wait a minute, is he
reactive
a top laner
champion
now?
I think
no,
we should talk
Tom
about
Kench
support.
Support?
Just kidding. I have no idea.
I was going to say, where's the real Aiden? Yeah. So, Tom Kench, why don't you tell us about it, Aiden?
He's bad.
Wait, okay. I don't think that's accurate.
I think he's like high B tier.
That's fair.
Well, yeah, I think that's actually like pretty reasonable for the most part. Mm-hmm. So, Tom Kench, he's got some moves. He's passive, does percentage health damage based on the number of like stacks that you have on them. So the more you auto them with a bunch of stacks, the more damage you do based on your health. Based on your health, not their health.
Yes.
So you want to stack health, you want to auto a lot. Got the core of his kit down. His Q is a skill shot where he like slaps his tongue around and licks people. That scales down from a gross cooldown of like 10 seconds or something like that to 4 seconds now. So you always max that first. There's no time that you don't max that first. That ability is really, really good. And it does a fucked amount of damage. I think it's like base at rank 5 is 280, which is pretty high for like a skill shot ability, like a low cooldown skill shot. His W is called Munch. You can munch two things. You can munch enemies after you apply 3 stacks, and then you do very little damage because they nerfed it, or you munch allies and then you can't move but you protect them from dying. So you got ally munch and enemy munch, and also you can combine your enemy munch with your Q and you can grab minions and spit them at stuff. That's called spit munch,
and it costs no mana, right?
Yeah, it costs no mana, and they still haven't addressed that. I feel like that's so it's definitely a bug. There's no way they meant to release it like that.
Yeah,
but I feel like they went that's fine. Like, it definitely shouldn't cost zero mana. And
absolutely
then his E
not.
Is called Tough Skin. This is where Tom Kench has tough skin, and he takes less damage. So when you take damage, a large portion of that is converted into a shield or gray health, and then you can either let that regen passively back at like a small little rate, like 20-30% of your gray health to regular health, or you can turn it into a shield, which lasts 3 seconds, which is cool. There's lots of cool ways to use this ability. Most people just hold it till like they have 99% gray health and then use it, then they die 3 seconds later because they have no actual health. In theory, when you're playing Tom Kench, you want to use his E to mitigate the exact amount of damage that people are doing to you. So meaning if two people are fighting you and beating you up and you're trying to run away and they're doing 100 damage a second, you want a shield for 300 health because they're going to do your exact shield amount, so you're not wasting any gray health anywhere. Because if you do it at 500 gray health and they're only doing 100 damage a second, like overall, then over those 3 seconds, you'll still have 200 gray health left that you're like not really using as a shield. So then you kind of wasted health. So you kind of want to try to math out how much shield you're going to actually need for a fight to properly use that ability optimally. And then his ultimate is called Get in My Stomach. This is where you transport an ally and kill someone in another lane. Or when you like pick off someone who's like just pushing down lanes and feeding.
Or you do Sneaky Baron.
Yeah, or Sneaky Baron. This ability is Ass Garbage level 1. Actually like negative range. It's like just over Ezreal. It's like 2 Ezreal Q range. It's like,
that's why I don't level it until level 10, so that I can get 10 and then 11 and get my 2 points.
I don't think that's the worst idea.
Yeah.
I was thinking about it for a while, but I feel like there's still some things you can do with it that are kind of like important. It's just like, if you could always like be sitting on like a point that you could just active, like use it if you need to, then it'd be fine. But there's going to be times where you can get out like and do plays with it. Anyways, that ability becomes good at like second rank, and then it becomes godlike at third. Even second rank's fine. Second rank is like from mid lane, you can get to like halfway down each river, halfway down. It's like a circle in the middle of the map. It's like pretty big. And then when you're like level 16, you can pretty well go from the middle of the map goes to both nexuses, I think. So it's like a big, yeah. Big alt range. Far. So you can like do gimmicky stuff like take a tower, then immediately alt to another tower, then push that one down. You can like against uncoordinated teams, you get really, really easy objective control when you're ahead. He's very, very win more in that sense. Other than that, if you look at his role, I play him top lane because he just fights people. He's a bruiser. I think he does probably like 60-40 magic physical damage, maybe a little more, maybe like 65-35. Magic physical. I'm actually not sure what the ratio is. Is there any way to ever check that out? I don't know if there is. Maybe.
It's different every game, right?
Yeah, I guess I could just look at end games like and stuff like that at some point. But I always assume that he's like slightly more magic than physical, but not like 80-20 or something like that.
I think he's more 70-30, honestly, because like none of his, the only thing that does physical damage is the base damage from his autos. Like the extra damage from his passive is magic, Q, W, both magic. So I feel like he's probably 70-75% magic damage. And then those base autos do a decent amount because you're not really building damage on him, but
I guess I just feel like those autos outweigh a lot of like the other damage. I think Q damage is like, it's literally like your W damage is pretty negligible. Your passive damage is probably adds up in the long run, but I think it's still pretty negligible. And then I guess your Q damage is pretty high though. But I feel like your auto damage is like pretty consistent throughout the game.
Yeah, and you get a lot of them off in a team fight or in a just a skirmish.
Yeah, I'm like doing this, I'm just gonna quickly log on. Okay. But anyways, build wise, he has a pretty easy build. You mainly pick him. You try to pick him into melee characters. Range matchups are pretty bad. Mage matchups are pretty bad. Conqueror matchups can be bad, but not in the sense that they beat you in lane. You beat pretty well every single melee character in the game during laning phase. It's just the fact that those characters might outscale you, like Riven's, Aatrox's, Darius's, Jax's, because they're Conqueror characters and they kind of like fuck shit up late in the game. That being said, I would still play him into all those matchups. Just don't pick him into like shit like Kennen or Vlad and stuff like that, I think.
Yeah. Vlad seems impossible.
That being said, your perfect world build is building Sunfire into Righteous Glory, into Warmogs. And then you have some other items that you can build based on their enemy comp. But when you're leaning against AP, you can either go Cowl and finish that into either a Visage or a Adaptive Helm, depending off it's, like, say, a Cassiopeia who does, like, damage that can be reduced by Adaptive. Or into, like, weak AP lanes, you can just build Cowl and then go back into your Sunfire and continue your regular build, Sunfire, Righteous Glory, Warmogs, whatever. And then your last, like, two or three items in the game, Boots can be, I guess, just whatever you need, either Merc Treads or Tabbies. But your last, like, couple items in the game are just, like, hey, what do I need to stop? Oh, they have a bunch of auto attackers, so I should build Thorn Mill. Oh, they have a... What's a better example? Oh, they have, like, we don't have much damage on our team, so I'll build Titanic. And you just kind of adapt your last couple items pretty easily every game. But yeah, your core is always going to be, like, Sunfire, Warmogs, Righteous Glory, probably one AP defensive item. Or, sorry, Magic Resist defensive item, like Adaptive or Visage. And then your other ones are kind of whatever. That being said, you always do have to play to what you're laning against, because you are someone who just fights everyone, so meaning you have to build properly or else you don't win those fights. Like, I see people on the Tom Kench main subreddit, like, be like, oh, I like building Spear of Shojin on him, and that's cool and all, but you're gonna lose every game if you don't just build this. Because, like, you're a character who builds tanky and gets rewarded for building tanky with damage, so you can pretty easily just, like, mitigate your lane opponent by building actual decent items, which I think a lot of people struggle with even comprehending. I guess that's like more of a, like, a lower elo player thing in general, though. I think people just kind of build whatever, don't really build the most optimal thing all the time. What else are we looking at? Strengths and weaknesses. Wins every single lane in the game. Weaknesses falls off versus the majority characters in the game. If you're playing against a Tom Kench, your best thing to do is pick a ranged character if you can, pick a Klepto character if you can, and then just sit back and farm. Even if you play you want to play like a hard carry like Jax or Riven or whatever, just don't die to him in lane. Literally, you can give up like 50 farm. You can be down 50 farm on him and just like outscale him in fights. You'll do way more. Like, he's very single target focused. He can deny people from dying, but then he's not doing damage. Almost every single character in the game has more tools in team fights than he does, other than like win more tools, like devouring someone. Champion specific things. I think they removed most of these from the game. There's like a lot of cool ones where you could like start channeling your ult while someone was like running away, and then you could get them out of there and stuff like that, but they made it so they have to be out of combat and stuff like that. Just your basic trading patterns, I guess, is the only other thing. When you're trading with Tom Kench, you want to use Devour as infrequently as possible, your eat move. You want to just, like, keep three stacks on them at all times, so you're doing max damage with your passive. And then you want to be stunning them as often as you can, which is, like, a three-second cooldown with max CDR and max rank Q. So in a perfect world, you're literally, your trading pattern is just autoing and queuing when it's off cooldown. And then when they try to use a, like, escape move or they're going to finally get away or whatever, then you eat them. And then you run them back a little bit and then spit them out and lick them so they're slow and they have to run around you again. You always try to like micro in front of them as well, so it's pretty easy. Yeah, like,
sorry, I was just gonna say, I feel like essentially you use your W as a stun, which, I mean, it's a suppression, but a way to like hold them in place while your Q comes back off cooldown.
Yeah, like I feel like a lot of people get three stacks on someone then immediately eat them, but that's not where your damage comes from. Before it was. Before your W did like stupid damage in 37% plus a ratio or whatever. But now it does, I think, 13% of their max health, which is a pretty big difference than 37%. So they've nerfed that a lot. So you're really just a one damage ability character in a way. So you have to play like you know that. Other than that, I think he's pretty easy to play, though. Like, really, you can just kind of fight anyone in any wave. I guess runes... I think runes are actually super, super important. I feel like a lot of people do wrong runes. I've been following a lot of, like, top-level Tom Kenches on other regions. One on EU-NE and one on EUW. And they've showed me this kind of, like, new rune. These new runes, and I think they're really, really good. So you go Grasp, Demolish, Second Wind, and Overgrowth. Pretty well just makes you like a huge tanky beast throughout lane. That's pretty straightforward. But for secondary, I always used to go down precision and then get the attack speed one so I could like trade better and stuff like that.
Yeah.
They all go down inspiration, picking up Futures Market and Time Warp Tonic, which I think is really, really interesting.
Really?
Yeah, Futures Market allows you to like back and get. I actually think Futures Market is one of the best runes in the game.
Like, oh, absolutely. I think every single game on Ezreal or someone who is very reliant on like an early, I don't know, item like tier, like mm-hmm. go for it. It's so strong.
Yeah, you can just get like stupid backs. Like getting an extra mm-hmm. 200 gold back off something is like actually crazy, especially early yeah. in the game. And mm-hmm. then Time Warp Tonic is actually insane because every single lane, there's not a single lane, I think, where you don't go Corrupting Potion. It's better than Approach Velocity. You just pop a potion and you just run faster than them. Like, it's like a lot of movement speed that you get. And also, you're a tank, so like you get the 50% of the Corrupting Potion immediately, which is kind of like old Fort Pot strategy. For those who didn't play, there used to be an item called Fortitude Potion, and the way it worked was when you popped, it would give you like health and AD right away. So like you would just like shoot up from like 100 health to 200 health in the middle of a fight. You'd fort pop bait people. It's kind of like that in a way. Like you just get like 70 health in a fight because you pop a potion and then you get movement speed, and it's pretty crazy. So I think it's way better than Approach Velocity. Like a lot of people do try to go Approach Velocity, so when you hit a Q, you can get to them, which I think is all right into ranged matchups, but overall, like, Time Warp Tonic is actually insane on him. Oh, Time Warp Tonic's insane on literally anyone who goes Corrupting Potion start.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, is I feel like Approach Velocity would be a good choice, but...
Yeah.
I mean, Corrupting Potion, the Time Warp Tonic isn't situational. Like, you just press it and you get the move speed to last longer, too.
Yeah, I had a game where, like, this one Lucian was like, how the fuck are you so fast? And I'm like, oh, I have the Time Warp Tonic rune or whatever. He's like, I actually just fucking died to that rune. Like, yeah. What a weird rune to die to.
Yeah.
It also kind of makes your Corrupting Potion like a more important part of your build, so it's not something that you want to sell for like items later in the game, because it just gives you like 20 something movement speed later, mm-hmm. which is a huge difference chasing someone down. Yeah. Other than that, just go with the attack speed and then whatever type of resist you need for your lane. I try to go attack speed, then armor for like the rune stats, but obviously if you're against MR, then I'd go armor. If you're like their entire team's magic, then you just go double MR. Pretty straightforward. Just fight people and get lots of kills, and then your game plan is kill their top laner enough to the point where you're kind of already just winning, and then you can use your alt as a like split pushing tool in a way.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, he's really good.
Yeah, he is super good.
Except that when you're behind, you probably lose the game no matter what.
Yeah. Yeah, and eventually you'll hit a point where it's too late in the game and you don't do enough.
Yeah.
Do you ever, like, at that point when you have, like, two or three items, just be like, fuck it, I'm just going to get, like, a Knight's Vow and eat my AD carry?
Oh, there's games where my AD carry is the only player doing well, so I'll go Knight's Vow, Zeke's. Like, I'll do anything. Like, if they have a support who won't build Knight's Vow or Zeke's, I'll build both those items.
Mm-hmm.
Because if it's, like, a hard carrying Twitch or, like, something like that, or Kai'Sa, right? My only win condition is them killing everyone. So, like, I'll sit on them, fucking eat them when they need it.
Yeah, they literally just need someone to stand in front of them and take damage.
Yeah, so like there is like, yeah, I guess there is versatile things in the build like that, but that's like super, super niche too. Like, oh, I'm losing lane and they have a support who won't build these items that will help them win. Because you can also proc Zeke's and you can also proc Zeke's like just by like double tapping your alt in the fight, which is kind of gimmicky.
Yeah. And feels like a waste of your ulti, but it's super good.
Well, it puts it on a 10-second cooldown if you, like, cancel it, and it proxies still. You can do that with Spear of Shojin as well if you want to, like, do cheese builds, but that's, like, pretty good cheese, actually.
All right.
Yeah, pick him up. You'll probably do well with him. If you're, like, lower or low, one huge benefit to him is that most people think you're just a tank who does no damage, so you can just mm-hmm. fight anyone and they'll fight you 100% of the time, and as long as you hit your abilities, you'll kill them every single time.
His passive actually does crazy damage to minions.
Yeah,
like, yeah, I think it's like 10 level 1, something like that. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a wild amount. You like, it's so easy to farm on him even without extra attack damage.
Yeah, I think Bramble's like super important though. You still are a single target character though, so you do need bramble to clear waves as a slow.
Oh, you mean Bami Cinder, like Sunfire Cape.
Yeah, Bami Cinder, okay, yeah. That's like, he's like, has the Shen effect, where Shen is like one of the best split pushing characters in the game, but he's also the worst split pushing character in the game because he's all single target. So you
have
need
to build
Sunfire.
That AoE. Clear. Yeah. 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 But cool. Whether it be Sunfire or the like Tiamat you mentioned earlier.
Yeah. It's a little bit more gimmicky to go Tiamat, but if you're like smashing,
yeah,
you can do
for
it.
Sure.
It's so weird that like, I hate how tank items on characters like Tahm Kench, even if you go like 10-0 in lane, it's still better to build tank.
Mm hmm.
Just because tank items are so good in this game.
Yeah, and it's like, tanks have such high base damage that they don't, and such poor scalings generally, that building a damage item generally doesn't influence your damage a tremendous amount.
Mm-hmm. It's like the difference of, hey, I can survive double the amount of time by building tank items, but my damage goes down by like 10% versus my damage going up by like whatever percent, but surviving half the amount of time. It's just like not a good trade-off.
Mm-hmm. Like, you'd never build, you'd never build, like, a death cap on Maokai versus tank items, because he'll do less damage with the, like, he'll do more burst damage, but less overall damage.
Yeah,
with the,
for sure.
With the hat, so.
Yeah, I think Titanic's the only one that you could maybe think about doing on, like, characters mm-hmm. like Tahm Kench. It's just, it's still a item that you're getting positive effects based on your already building tank. You're already like previous tank items.
Yeah, and I feel like that's even that, like, it's the AoE is good, but I feel like that's even more of an just for the extra auto reset to get like Q auto and you have 3 stacks.
The damage on the autos is pretty gross too, though. It's like extra like 70 on autos, which is insane.
For sure, but I feel like that's even less important than the auto reset, specifically for Titanic.
Mm-hmm. That's fair.
But yeah. Nice.
Yeah, I think
best
it's
skin.
Really good.
He's got good skins.
I like the Coin Emperor one now. I think still my favorite skin in the game for Tahm Kench is...
Eat soup.
Master Chief.
Yeah, because he eats soup. And Coin Emperor doesn't eat soup. But yeah. Coin Emperor is really good, and I have every chroma for it, so that's nice. Fun to use.
Do you also have the Earth one?
Yeah, I do. Okay. I listener
do you like that one,
actually.
Or no?
I think it's really, really good.
Hell yeah. All right, that's Tahm Kench. Let's get into roundtable.
Cool, more talking.
Do you want to alternate the
Aiden
answers?
This is an Aiden show.
No, it's fine. Okay. I do have a cheese pick for you, Colton, that I want to try later. Maybe we can do next week, but it involves Mordekaiser, and I think that I don't know when the rework's coming out, so we might not have time.
So I actually think there's going to be a patch. Like we're expecting a patch this week, right?
Yeah. So you think it'll be 2 weeks for Mord?
Maybe. Because it's not on the PBE yet, right?
He's on the PBE now, I think. Or like when it gets patched today. PBE
when it gets
up
patched,
Tuesdays,
okay. Yeah. Oh, I guess we should mention, this at the start of the show, that we're recording this a day early. So if there's any news that comes out on Wednesday when we normally would record, we'll probably, unless it's huge news, we'll probably just cover it next week.
We've been getting fucked with, like, news coming out on Thursdays, which is weird. Like,
yeah, that's been happening, too.
It's always been a Tuesday. Like, they've always put news out on Tuesday, like, at 1 o'clock mm-hmm. or whatever, but it's crazy. We've been having, like, crazy news on Thursdays.
Yeah.
Cool.
But, yeah, roundtable.
Yeah, so last week's question was from Victor. He said, Riot has decided there are not enough status effects before Worlds and are dropping the kitchen sink on new statuses on a bunch of items and champions with two hilarious effects. What are the new status effects and what do they do? Bodhi said, Arcane Disease, Arcane Comet now does damage slowly over time instead of a tiny little burst, like Corrupting Potion and Exhaust had a baby. That's gross. Dustin said, Malzahar's E leaves permanent debuffs called Space Aids that increases the damage you take from all sources by 1% per minute. Each time E is refreshed or newly applied, it increases the total by 1%.
Yeah, fuck that.
Get 100 E presses on you, die
Jesus.
From anything. Wyatt said, Confusion, your controls are inverted and abilities are scrambled onto different keys. Brian said, Gragas now causes players hit by his barrels to become drunk. The screen blurs slightly and the champion stop walking in straight lines. This effect increases with each barrel within a short amount of time, wears off over time. Nick said, Frenzied affected champions automatically attack the nearest champion or minion, friendly or enemy. Ooh. Like taunt, but more rage induced. Yeah, that'd be pretty good.
Oh, I like that.
I think that's really good. Like, that's a static effect that could actually be put into the game for sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. From our Discord, HD Anime Thighs said, financial stress as the game progresses and you spend lots of your gold, your champion gets a moment of clarity that they cannot afford to buy all this and now has to deal with financial stress. Each champion has their own way of handling stress, and they get debuffed for the rest of the game.
So I saw that, and my immediate thought was, like, tweak it just a little bit where it's, like, financial stress, where, like, your opponent is so worried about retirement that, like, 500 of their gold pool is, like, locked off until, like, 40 minutes or something.
Yeah.
Like, every time you hit them, just, like, a chunk of their gold they can't access until, like, 10 minutes later in the game. gotta save that money.
A scientist said, unfixed knockup champion. Champions are knocked up until they reach the maximum Z axis, then come back down. It's so easy to implement that Riot has already done it by accident. But I also had the idea for a zillion rework. Every X seconds, the next auto is instant and causes stutter, resetting a champion back to where they were 0.5 seconds ago. Christ.
That'd be infuriating.
That would be one of the worst things I've ever seen. Oh, that.
Jesus.
And then last but not least, Mitch Christo said, reflection, when an enemy champion CCs you, reflection will then remove the CC on your champion and transfer it back to the enemy champion. I think that'd be a cool ability. Something that...
My friend, do we have a champion for you?
I know it's Fiora Riposte, but I mean, like, that's all stun. Everything is turned into a stun.
Oh, okay. I see, I see.
Like, I want to turn, like, I want polymorph Lulu, right? Like, I want to do stuff like that. Like, I feel like that's...
That's how it should work, but probably too complex for a Riot.
Yeah. Anyways,
nice.
This week's question is, what features would you like to have accessible to you while viewing LCS games?
Ooh, can I go?
Yeah.
The ability to choose which casters I want to fucking listen to.
That's so toxic.
I mean, yeah, it's a little toxic, but there are casters that I will just, like, I just won't watch if they're casting.
Oh boy.
Like,
don't call anyone out, Nick.
I mean, no, I won't call anything out, but if I could have every single game cast by, like, Captain Flowers and Kobe, done.
Cast by every single caster except for the one I don't like?
Except for the one that I don't like, who refuses to, like, oh, fuck. I don't want to mention names, but the thing that he does the most is just, as soon as there is a lead, that's it. The game's over. Like, oh, enemy team's winning. This is it. Game, like, there's no possible way they could come back. And as a fan of a team who fucking sucks, I don't want to hear that 10 minutes into the game.
That's fair. Colton, what about you?
So, I mean, the one that I've always wanted was mainly just to be able to, like, watch from a particular player's perspective, right? Like, I want to be able to watch Doublelift's, like, actual player, like, in-game cam, and be like, oh, okay, I want to watch this lane and see what they do. But, I mean, that's kind of what they already did, right?
That's what they're doing, yeah.
Yeah, so that takes away, like, that one, and that was, I think, the most common. I think the... I don't know. Like, that's really the only one I could think of that I actually really want.
I have one.
Yeah, that's kind of the big feature. Sorry, go ahead.
Either that, or if there was, like, an interactive viewer where you could, like, pull up their runes and masteries and stuff. Like, at any time during the stream.
Now, I feel like you can do that on the website already.
Probably.
Maybe.
On LoL Esports, yeah. So what I want, it's not really while watching games, but I want, like, them to, like, because they can definitely do this. They can, I think they can do it. I believe in Riot. I want them to, like, after games, like, have, like, a hype moment that you can then, like, put yourself in the hype player's shoes and see if you can, like, pull off what they just did.
Oh,
like, all the actions, like continue out through, you know what I mean? Like,
that'd be sick. Like, they just put you in a scenario where you could, like, you'd have to pull off the Faker play.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah, like, it puts you in that play of, like, a couple seconds of lead up where you walk towards him, and then you have to, like, actually input all the things properly, see if you can do it.
Or find, yeah, I guess so. I guess you'd have to do that. But that'd be wild. That'd be awesome.
I think it'd be really cool. I think it would, like, be hard to do, but, like, they could definitely do it on a very base level.
I'm recording. Sorry. I turned on the
I'm
mic.
I'm recording.
I turned on the mic before I said that, so.
That's fine. But I think that'd be cool to, like, at least try.
Yeah.
Or like see if they could do it for even like just one or two big scenarios.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Cool.
Even if they had it like as like an after the match thing, like this is like one of like the two hypest moments in LCS this week, and it was like a custom game mode where you're like going against bots. Like that could be really cool too, and like you complete it, you get like an LCS quest or something.
Yeah, here's the hypest moment where you click R on Karthus jungle and get a triple kill.
Hell yeah.
Anyways, if you want to tell us what feature you'd like to have accessible to you while viewing LCS games, you can hit us up on our Facebook page at LeagueCast, send us an email, mail@leaguecastpodcast.com, or come into our Discord and post in our roundtable section.
Hell yeah. Cheese pick.
Yeah, cheese pick featuring Warren playing PUBG probably anyway. This week's cheese pick, Callista mid. So I've done Kindred mid before, and I was thinking about it, and I think Callista mid does pretty much the same thing, with the difference being that like she can get strong without having to get marks. That's nice. And then you just bind to your jungler, and that's like free ganks. And you just like pull your Sejuani over the Wraith wall, boom, easy kill. So I think she's got real strong, like, potential for just, like, 1v1 all-ins, especially if you go, like, Lethal Tempo or Hail of Blades. Pretty safe lane with how mobile she is, just all the free jumps, and then being able to throw your W just up and down river, and you can just literally send it to, like, bot lane and top lane and have those constantly patrolling those free vision, so I think it could be pretty good, so that's my pick. Aiden, tell me why it's bad.
Because you're playing Callista, one. Two, you're playing Callista mid.
Mm-hmm. Okay, there we go. Callista mid, cheese pick.
Pog. All right, so a tiny bit of LCS news. Summer starts up this weekend, Saturday, June 1st. The LCS website, or the LoL Esports website, doesn't have the schedule for the LEC in Europe, but I imagine it starts on Friday is when they start, right? They don't do Thursday anymore.
One of the regions does a day earlier. I'm not sure which region that is.
Yes.
Is it
okay?
Europe?
Well, anyway,
know. Who knows?
Anyway, it's this weekend, so check it out.
Feels like it's so quick, and there's like no hype for it.
Yeah, I mean the hype. Like, I don't know.
It will build.
MSI more. Was very rewarding, mm-hmm. So to go back to like, oh, G2's gonna stomp their way to another title, and then Team Liquid's probably going to do the same thing, although to a lesser degree. It's kind of boring, mm-hmm. But we'll see. And that takes us to Mail Fight, where we have two emails. Colton, why don't you read the first one?
All right. This one's from Speedy Spikes. It says, hey guys, hope you had a good Memorial Day weekend. For Riot's new status effect, they're rolling out Addiction. Your champion is now addicted to potions. Upon death, your champion will fill an inventory slot with 5 potions or until you run out of gold, increasing the number of slots with each death. Think you can get around it by filling your inventory with item components? Think again. Addiction causes you to sell your most expensive items to make room for your life-wrecking potion habit. Being an AA champ has a whole new meaning. Adios.
Damn. That'd be awful.
Yeah, that'd be like, that would really suck.
The game would just be broken. Whoever gets that addiction would just lose the game. Unless everyone had it.
Do you think that, like...
Oh, excuse me.
Do you think that that's one of those that, you know, Riot would eventually get rid of because it's just unfun? Or do you think they'd try and justify it for balance reasons?
I don't think... I'd like to think they wouldn't ever put this in the game, period. But I guess I could be wrong. Yeah, hopefully it's not there. Second email's from Dragon. Thank you, Speedy Spikes. And he says, hey guys, first of all, I hope this is the right email address. Nick says the email so fast. I'm not entirely sure if I caught it right. I apologize, and I'll read it slower. Second, my summoner name is Dragon. I'm a gold 4 jungle support main. Anywho, I'm a longtime listener, first-time emailer. I usually just talk to myself while listening to your podcast, like I'm just part of the conversation. I think we should pause for what Dragon's saying.
That's a really good point, man.
That's so funny, though. I just wanted to reach out and say thanks for the hard work and effort you guys put into making the show. Also, when you guys had the listener question about lore things to be added into the game, I couldn't help but scream Kog'Maw's dad. You know, one of his taunts is terror coming, daddy coming. every time they say they're going to bring another Void Champion, I just hope it'll be him this time. He has a roundtable answer for last week's, and he said, I've always thought that there are way too many heal and shield, and you would like one way to prevent it altogether. I'd like to call the status effect irredeemable. Neither your support nor God can save you now. For a short time, your allies can neither shield nor heal you. That would be wild. I think an easy way to do it is just make Grievous Wounds apply to shields too. But that would be sick.
I mean, I think it'd be pretty cool if there was a character who actually had not just Grievous Wounds, but actually like healing and shielding does not work on you, bar none. I think it'd have to be either very short effect or like an ultimate effect.
I was going to say, I think it has to be one of those abilities where like you and your target become irredeemable. So you'd pick less of a heal slash support comp or heal slash shield support and then just do something like damage mitigation instead. If that makes sense. That'd be super cool. And then finally, a question. Why do you think Riot has made it to where if you are stealth slash camouflage and you use sweeper lens, it brings you out of said stealth? I know that usually you wouldn't care about wards, but for example, when playing Evelynn, and you run into a team of Mushroom, it ruins all of your plans, and it would be nice to have a way to flank without coming out of your stealth. Anyway, I hope the show... I enjoy the show. Guys, keep up the hard work. I can't read. With my regards, Dragon. Yeah, but I think, having the sweeper reveals you kind of makes sense. Otherwise, like, your wards are just worthless, like, full stop, period. Including, like the pink wards. So it's just kind of a way to keep stealth in check even more, I think.
You can put down a pink without dropping stealth, I think, right?
Yeah, but what I'm saying is like if you could sweep the pink,
no,
right?
Because like
pinks
for him
can be
like a...
Oh yeah, for him. Yeah, that's true. Just carry a pink ward, bud.
I mean that's like the best way to get around it though, I think.
Mm-hmm. Or just make like a really weird path where there aren't any mushrooms. Or ban Teemo.
Look up his stream.
Done. Easy.
Yeah,
just watch the opponent's stream, find out where the mushrooms are, and avoid them. Easy.
What if so there's a way to like queue up multi streams on Twitch, right? What if every single game you just
Twitch slash something?
Okay. Yeah, but you know what I mean, right?
Yeah.
Pull up multi. What if you just did that every single ranked game for every single opponent? Because a lot of them are just gonna have like their summoner name be the same thing.
And they're all gonna be streamers.
Big brain. But, I mean, that's got to work at least, like, once every other game, I feel like.
No, people tell you when they're streaming. They'll just link you their thing and tell you to follow and put a smiley face in
chat. Before the game starts?
Oh, if your teammates do.
Oh, no, I was talking about the enemy team.
Yeah, I understand that. But, I mean, like, I think your teammates tell you that every single time they stream. And
okay,
it's not very often.
Yeah, I guess that's true, yeah.
If you have a program Dragon that searches like the account names in your game and checks counter references them with like Twitch VODs, that would be OP.
That's
pretty nutty.
True. God, that would
be
a wild program.
Next level
Holy
pay
shit.
To win.
Yeah. Huh. Any programmers out there who got some free time? That'll do it for this episode of LeagueCast. Thank you all for listening. If you like us, you can check out our Twitters. At LeagueCast and at LeagueCastFrost. Facebook is LeagueCast. TeamSpeak is ts.leaguecastpodcast.com. Our Discord is where we record the shows, and you can come listen and hang out in our chat rooms. You can get that by sending us an email, mail@leaguecastpodcast.com. Follow us on Twitch at twitch.tv/bluebasket and /kinglardout. And finally, support us on Patreon, patreon.com/leaguecast. Hopefully that was slow enough for you, Dragon, and everyone else who probably suffers from the same of my speed reading. But that'll do it for episode 280. Thanks for listening, and we will see you next week. Bye.
Bye.